Speak, O speak, Lord, to your church today. Lord, we ask that you would take my words and speak through them, that we may see the truth of your word and respond and act on it. And we ask this through the working of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Out recently in Dedham, I was stopped by a couple of visitors and asked the best way to walk to Flatford. I explained they'd got a couple of choices. They could walk along the river via Fen Bridge, or take the path across the fields that are parallel to the Manningtree Road via Judas Gap. It didn't matter which path they chose, they would finish up either way in Flatford. But some paths we choose in life really do matter, as we see in our reading this morning from Proverbs chapter 9. It's on page 642 of the Pew Bibles if you want to have it open to look at. And here in Proverbs 9, we discover personified in two women the way of wisdom and the way of folly. Both have houses and both offer invitations, and we're going to look at each in turn. Firstly, Lady Wisdom. The house she's built is well thought out. It has seven pillars, and we know that it's usually grand houses or the temples and churches that have pillars. It's a strong, secure building. And of course, the number seven in the Bible is associated with completion, fulfillment. So God in Genesis tells us, after creating, God created, rested on the seventh day. And James in his letter, in chapter 3 and verse 17, gives us seven qualities of wisdom that come from heaven, namely from God himself. And they are pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That number seven has significance. And wisdom has laid on a wonderful feast. The meat and wine are carefully prepared, and the table too for the banquet. But of course, guests are required, and so she sends out her servants and calls out herself the invitation for the people to come. And it might be for the word simple, a better translation would be she called the undecided. And the invitation is to all. You might remember in Luke's Gospel, Jesus told a parable with a similar theme about a king who prepared a sumptuous banquet and sent out invitations. But his servants came back to say people were making excuses why they couldn't come. They'd just purchased the field and were going to see it. Another had bought an oxen and were going to try them out. And yet another refused the invitation because they'd just got married. But the feast was laid on, and so the invitation was extended to everyone. It makes sense to respond and take up what wisdom offers, for it's the way to life and satisfaction. Wisdom says, come and enjoy the things God has offered. But to do this, you need to give up and leave behind what you thought was satisfying and walk and be guided by the way of insight, to be humble and to learn from God. And it's God who offers us that insight. James in his letter writes, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God. So that's wisdom's invitation. So we jump now to verse 13 and look at what the other woman, Folly, who is in every way the opposite to wisdom, and consider her invitation. And her house is chaotic. and she lacks understanding. She's portrayed as lazy, for she's made no preparation and just sits at the door of her house. She's loud, shouting out to draw in those passing with the seductive invitation, "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious." In comparison to wisdom's banquet of meat and wine, what's offered by folly will only provide fleeting satisfaction. And of course, the inference in the phrase, "stolen water is sweet," is to adultery. What's offered is being stolen from the woman's husband. You, like me, may feel uncomfortable that it's woman in these early chapters of Proverbs which are reflected in a bad light as being the tempter of men, when we know there's another side, that men can be abusive, controlling, and manipulative. So let me say a few things which may be helpful in our understanding of what we're reading here in the beginning of Proverbs. Firstly, in the early chapters of Proverbs, the underlying theme is of a father's advice and teaching to his son about being wise, and so wants him to be aware of the temptations that are around. Secondly, in the culture of the day, it was predominantly male-dominated. Men ruled and governed. Thirdly, we need to read Proverbs through the lens of history. For example, we would not beat our children with rods today, as a couple of the Proverbs suggests. But the underlying principle of disciplining children, we acknowledge, is a parental responsibility, which may include sanctions, but not physical violence. And fourthly, what we read needs to be done in the light of the whole message of the Bible, Old and New Testament. So Jesus in his ministry is very affirming of women and gives them status and dignity. In John's Gospel, we have the account of male Jewish religious leaders dragging a woman before Jesus who'd been caught in the act of adultery. And the teachers of the law were finding Jesus, his teaching and popularity, a threat, and they wanted to trap him. And these religious leaders knew their Old Testament scriptures, and they wanted to catch Jesus out. And so they knew in the Old Testament that for adultery, the consequence was stoning. That's what Moses said. "What do you say?" they asked Jesus, putting him on the spot. And we're told that Jesus said nothing immediately, but with his finger wrote in the dirt on the ground. Perhaps he couldn't look at them, pointing the finger at this poor woman, knowing their own hypocrisy. We're not told, but some suggest that he might have been tracing in the dirt a list of her accuser's sins. But when he looks up, he says, "Let him without sin cast the first stone," and looks again to the ground and continues doodling. And when he looks up again, all the woman's accusers have vanished. And Jesus doesn't either condemn her and encourages her to make a fresh start. And if we read on in the New Testament letters, we discovered how important women were in the life of the early church, valued for their gifts and leadership. And we rejoice today at the gender equality that we have. If you keep on in Proverbs, I promise you'll see how the woman is held up eventually as the perfect example of wisdom. Well, I hope that just gives you in the background some context and understanding to what we read in these early chapters of Proverbs. So let's look at what choosing folly has on the menu for us. Her voice is enticing, seeking to draw in the undisciplined and unwise with what, on the face of it, could be satisfying, but is anything but. She entices with the age-old lie, stolen water is sweet, food eaten in secret is delicious. But she hasn't prepared the meal. What she offers, as I've said, is stolen. It's a counterfeit of the carefully prepared meal and wine that wisdom offers us. Folly can promise a lot, but delivers disappointment and even death. And folly's voices cry out still today in a myriad of enticing ways. If it feels good, do it. It won't matter if I bend the truth a little. Go on. Your happiness is all that matters. It's interesting, though, that so much of what is enticing is done in secret. Like adultery, whose consequences can cause the death of a marriage and spoil a family relationship. Or the watching of pornography, which demeans others and distorts the viewer's view of sex. Folly's voice is subtle and can make you think you're in control, like when it comes to your drinking or gambling, but along with drugs can so easily become addictions and ruin your life and cause distress to those who love you. Folly's voice is also persuasive in justifying your actions, even when you know they are wrong. We've seen it again this last week in the exploitation of others for money. They may excuse their actions, thinking they are helping people to a better life, but traffickers are only interested in money, and people tragically die in awful circumstances, leaving grieving and distraught families. So we have two houses, two invitations. Which will we choose? God's way or our own way? Between the two invitations, in verses 7 to 12, we find suggested possible responses. There is the mocker and the scoffer, whose minds are closed and are not open to any kind of correction. I wonder if you've known people like that. You can see by the choices they make it's going to cause them problems or get them into hot water. But you're not thanked for your intervention. But if you're wise, you will listen, are teachable, open to correction, and humble enough to learn. And the outcome is you'll become wiser still. So there's the invitation. Which will we choose? God's way or our own way? Wisdom or folly? It makes sense to choose wisdom, and that begins by giving God the rightful place in our lives. For the refrain that runs through Proverbs is, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." To perhaps put it a different way, the reverence or awe of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that is lived out and expressed in the person and ministry of Jesus, which is why Anthony encouraged, along with reading Proverbs, reading again through Mark's Gospel. Proverbs chapters 1 to 9 lay the foundation for the rest of the book of Proverbs. If you're not doing so already, I encourage you to read through it, for you'll see what it means to put wisdom into practice. And Proverbs is a book populated with the types of people we are and the types of people we will encounter most days. Adolescents and parents, spouses and friends, colleagues and clients, the gullible and the lazy, the old and the young, those who might lead us astray and those who will help us stay on track. If we are teachable, Proverb offers wisdom regarding our spiritual lives, but also practical advice about everyday living, regarding things like relationships, speech, our use of time, of honesty and justice, and much, much more. So which invitation will we choose, wisdom or folly? Choosing wisdom is to put Jesus at the centre of our lives and to reverence him and to live by God's word. Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6 express it like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord. That is the way of wisdom. We sing our next hymn.